iteration is so important, and there is always a better way to do something and a way of topping yourself and creating something even better. So if I have one tip, it's just look at what's been done before, how do you make it better, and just keep improving upon it, and eventually you'll get there.
Great events create great brands, but pulling off an event that engages, excites, and connects audiences? Well, that takes a village, and we're that village. My name is Alyssa.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Felicia.
And you are listening to Great Events, the podcast for all event enthusiasts, creators, and innovators in the world of events and marketing.
Hi, everyone. What has been going on in this wide, wide world of events? My name is Felicia, and I am your host for today's episode. Now, for today's episode, as I always say, super excited. When is Felicia not excited? But we are going to talk about web design, which I just think is so interesting. And I would be a poor host if I didn't have some guests. So here today, I have Dara and Andreas joining me. So Dara, say hello.
Hey, how are you guys?
How is everyone?
I hope they're doing well. Can you tell us a little bit about what each of you do?
Yeah, so I can go first. So I am on the event marketing team here at Cement, and I help market all of our tier one events and trade shows. So our biggest ones are Cement Connect. We have both the US and the Europe version, which I get to work with Felicia on, which is awesome. So I do pretty much everything from the start to the end of the event. So working on things like our website, emails, all of our paid digital strategy, everything that we do to get attendees to the event, and then making sure that they're having a great time at the event with lots of great communication and all that good stuff.
Phenomenal. Andreas, how do you fit into this?
So I am a UX designer sitting on Cvent's web design team. I create experiences for all things cvent.com. So if you're on that website, that is what my team handles. I am also the lead designer for anything on Cvent community. We're doing some really great stuff over there. So definitely always recommend you go and be a part of that. And last but definitely not least, considering that's what we're here for, I am the web designer for our Cvent Connect registration site.
Awesome. So I'm going to start by saying this. I know lots of people listening, you know, we have great podcast listeners, and some come from large organizations similar to ours, where they have, you know, event marketers, web designers, UX designers. But there will be a lot of people listening that do not have this, you know, idea of the split roles. And so we're going to, just so that our audience knows, we're going to talk about both sides of this coin and make sure that people know there are simple things you can do, but then there's also a little bit complex you can do. So we want to, you know, hit both audiences. But why don't we start talking about strategy? Because everybody needs one, whether you're a big company, small company, lots of roles, or just one. How do we go about thinking about that website strategy when it comes to our events? Dara, is that all you?
Yes. So I wouldn't say it's all me, because we have so many different hands in the pot working on the Cvent Connect site. But really, I'm kind of the one that's wrangling all the cats and making sure that everybody's on the same page. And then Andreas also helps a lot with coming up with like our UX strategy once I have all of the content and things put together. But I help to craft the flow of our website, making sure the strategy aligns with the vision and the goals of the website. But that really starts with going back to who our attendees are and trying to figure out what our key personas are that we're targeting. And once we have that info, that's where we start to build out the website strategy. Because you need to know who you're trying to talk to before you can build your website in the first place. And then, of course, what your event goals are too.
Good tip. Good tip. And Andreas, how do you play a role there with the strategic side? You know, Dara said UX.
Yeah, of course. So it's one of those things where you do have to know your audience, but a lot of humans think alike, right? Like sometimes it has nothing to do with like your exact role or where you come from, but more or less how you think. And so it's kind of just gathering like what is the majority of the population? How are they thinking? How are they using this website? And how do I craft an experience that kind of encaptures the most amount of people that I can?
How they think, that's so interesting. I remember when I was studying marketing, we were talking about psychology and, you know, the colors that people would use. Like I remember we learned that, I would say, fast food giant chain that was yellow and red. I'm not going to name any names. And they were like, they chose those colors because, you know, psychologically they make you hungry, apparently. And I was like, wow, that's crazy. So when you say how people think, could you give us some examples of that?
One of the interesting things about website strategy is that you're actually taking the cumulative knowledge of every website that any person has been on. So each of them have to have repeatable patterns, right? So when someone drops on your website, there are certain things that they're going to expect from having been on other websites in the past. So one of the first things that we start off with when we're working on the CVET website is thinking about the user journey and how the average person would go through the website. So how can we get them to register as quickly and efficiently as possible and get them the information that they need? So we have gone through several iterations of our site, literally trying to get those the number of clicks reduced so that it's easier and faster for people to get to the register button, but then also making it super clear that they can get the information that they need on the homepage. So I want to get, you know, the fast facts of an event when I go to a website. So what's the pricing? What's the people that are going to be there? What am I going to get out of the event? What is the event about? I need that like simple info on the homepage so that I can then make some quick decisions. I think Andreas like gave me some really interesting tips too about like, hey, people don't read. So a lot of people skim more than they read on a website. So it's really important to get that behavior in your head when you're writing content, because I know when I'm writing content or writing stuff for the website, I can get super verbose. So it's nice having Andreas work with me sometimes, because he'll be like, hey, you need to cut that down for real, because this is looking way, way too long and no one's ever going to read 3 paragraphs or whatever you've written.
Yeah. So just picking back on that one, how do people think is that most of the time they don't, right? So how do you make things as simple as possible for them to digest this information? And that's one of the things that we try and keep in mind is that how do we give them clear and concise messaging to be able to digest that information without them having to think too much? One of the most important things that we try and keep in mind is not to make your users think. We want to deliver this information so that they can get from point A to point B as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds so cool. And I know we keep saying UX, that's user experience, right? So, you know, for those people that are not sure and they're like, UX, that sounds like some technical thing. It's like, no, it's just how do your users experience your website? Would you say that's right?
Correct. And when you look at like UX holistically, it lives anywhere. It's not necessarily just like a website. It can be a product. It can be even in the real world. Like, how is something built? What is it that you're experiencing? Is it how you make something? Is it how you're using a product? And I think that's something that maybe go over a lot of people's head is that this isn't just something that is just for tech. It is something that you want to kind of create that experience across anything that a user uses or touches or is a part of.
Yeah, I think we have so many event planners probably listening to this podcast, and they're experts of user experience, really, because what they're thinking of is when an attendee comes in, what their journey is on site, and thinking about sort of what that holistic journey from start to finish is. And that's what we want to kind of bring in and infuse on the website as well, is that that's really your first touch point of your brand and your event. So that's part of the attendee journey. So you want to make sure that that is part of your overall user experience that you're thinking of. It's not just the on-site experience, but the digital experience as well.
I love that. I was thinking exactly the same thing. It's like all these experiences, and that's what everyone's living for these days, you know, experiences even within business. So these principles, are there some key like principles of UX that, you know, you want to make sure come through on an event website?
Yeah, for sure. So there are plenty that I can name, but if we are speaking to the majority of audiences, I think there's like 3 main ones to like keep in mind. First one being the attention. Where is the attention going? You gotta kind of keep in mind the patterns that the eyes follow on the page. So what is the first thing that their eyes are landing on? What are their eyes moving towards? What pattern are the eyes moving in? And a lot of the times, typically we use something called the F pattern, which means you're going from top left, top right, next row, left to right, left to right. And if you kind of stray away a little bit too much from that, then it goes back to making your mind think a little bit more, which is what we try and like lean away from. So sometimes these patterns are like there for a reason and we want to follow them. So it's just one of those like best practices. The second one, which I would argue is just as important as attention, is typography. typography is so important. What are your font sizes? Do they make sense? What are your font styles? In terms of font styles, you want to keep it to like max two. But if you can do it with just one, do it with just one. One of the things that I like to say, just to like put emphasis on typography, I'm not sure if you've ever kind of heard anybody say this or if you experienced it, but when you're watching a really, really beautiful video that's like high resolution 4K, and it's like one of the most amazing things you've ever seen, and you put it on and you play and it has bad sound, the whole video is automatically ruined, right? Like, sound is the most important when it comes to video. It's a very similar situation with web design and anything UX design, where typography is more important than your visuals. And if you can nail your typography, then you're nailing your website. And then the third one that I have is accessibility. What colors are we using? Are they being contrast? You want to make your website as usable as possible for as many users as possible. And the Cvent platform lets you do this easily. If you want, you can, when you upload an image, it gives you the option to upload alt text. And we make sure on our end that we have alt text for every single image, because if not, if a user is using like the screen reader, it's just going to read the file name, and that might not be descriptive for them as to what the image is. So yeah, attention, typography, and accessibility, for sure. Always nail those.
Amazing. I'm just like, I'm sitting here like with my mouth open going, yeah, oh my gosh, that's so true. You know, and Zara, I'm wondering, is this where your brain is when you're thinking about this website? You're like, right, I've got to think about these things. Or do you think you've been educated by Andreas? Like, what do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely think I've been educated by Andreas and some of our other peers. It's been super helpful, especially with the accessibility mindset throughout the whole website. That was something that just has we've built on as time goes on. And that has just become more and more important. Because I think sometimes we think of accessibility as, oh, this is like an extra step that we have to take. And like, this is going to take a while for us to update our website to do this. And but it's just going to take extra time and energy. But one thing that I've really found out about accessibility, having worked on it on the website for these past couple of years, is that when you make your website accessible, it's making your user journey better for everyone. So even though, yes, it's an extra step and something else for you to think about when you're putting together your website, making it accessible for people that have accessibility needs actually is an improvement for your website as a whole. So one example that I'm thinking of is the color thing. So where there's color contrast issues, or where you have issues where a person that's visually impaired couldn't see, it's just going to make your website look better in general to have accessible colors on it. And then for things like adding descriptive CTAs to your link, so that's where when you're looking at your website, it'll say download a PDF versus just saying download this. Like, your user's going to have more understanding of what's going on your website, and it's going to be a lot easier for them to go through the process than if they didn't have those accessibility features on. So it's not just for those that have accessibility needs, although that is, of course, a huge priority. Everything's going to rise up from the bottom and make it better for everyone too.
I want to say real quick that although it is an extra step and an extra layer to like think about, I want to just put out there that it doesn't take an absurd amount of time as long as you're designing with accessibility in mind from scratch. When you start your website from scratch and you're, you know, keeping in mind the color contrast and how you're labeling your things and the alt images, when you work that into the progress, you'll be surprised that it doesn't take up as much time as one would think. So it's just better to do it from the start.
And there's an interesting element too with accessibility that kind of goes back to the first point of attention to that principle. And what we talked about people don't read, and there's kind of the skimming aspect to websites. So the way to make things accessible language-wise is everything needs to be on an eighth grade reading level. So as a marketer, this can actually be quite a challenge because you're going to be drawn in and want to use some of this corporate jargon. You're going to want to use some of these this language that maybe is within your own event. So one example that always jumps out to me is like Innovation Pavilion with our like Cvent Connect website. Like, what is an Innovation Pavilion? Like, would you know what that was if you were just some, you know, random person that dropped on your website? So you want to make sure that everything that you are putting in content-wise is to as broad of audience as possible, and that people can understand regardless of either their reading level or their experience in the industry. So just having that lens when you go in of like, if I didn't know anything about this event, would I know what this is?
Absolutely. And, you know, I remember speaking to one of our event planners. She happened to be Italian, lived in the UK for ages. And we were talking about accessibility, but we were talking about accessibility from, I guess, the perspective of disability. And she was kind of saying, but hold on, I'm just a foreign language speaker in the UK. I don't understand what you guys are talking about sometimes, because you're using words that doesn't translate in Italian, and I haven't learned that English, you know? And so, like you said, download the PDF is very clear. Whereas like, get it now, they'd be like, get what now? What are we talking about? You know? So it's so interesting. So when you think about, you know, languages and, you know, designing your site, do you either of you have any experience of like, okay, this is in this language? I know we do, you know, CBEN Europe in German, for example. Do you ever have to like think about, okay, how is this going to transfer language wise?
I know that that was a big one for us, especially with Connect Europe when we were designing the site, is how do we make this understandable both for the German audience and the English audience? So there was a lot that we had to either look at the translation, but I think not just like language, but terms and phrases. So coming from the US and working on a European event, there's tons of different words and phrases that are different between the two. So I think this is one where having collaboration from your teams and also having a lot of other eyes and mindsets that go through. I know sometimes it can be painful to have people go through your website and look at it with a second pair of eyes and you're like, dang it, I just thought we had all of this finished perfectly. But I think exposing to a lot of different stakeholders and groups within your company, maybe even those that have never been to the event before, that will be so illuminating to see what comes up as those like weirdo language words that you're like, oh, I didn't know that this was actually not intelligible. So it'll help kind of give you that fresh perspective that you need.
Such good advice, Andreas.
Yeah, no, I mean, Dara kind of nailed it right there. So I'll just kind of like put a bullet point on under hers as for being like the main point. Something I just kind of like want to put out there is we try and be as inclusive as possible, right? Like it goes back to, we want to design for everyone, but sometimes that can become really hard because there are so many people from like different places and speaking like different languages. And so one of the things that we try and do is just kind of do a little bit of research on our beforehand before we start designing, as to like who's coming to this website, what language are they speaking, what terms are they using. And so this is like a small part that we can do to make sure that we're covering like most of the crowd, right? So yeah, but that definitely love what Dara had said before.
Yeah, and I think the research aspect is huge for us. I mean, that's where you can dive into your attendee data from previous years, and you can literally see, okay, we held this event last year, we're holding it again this year, what's our attendee breakdown? And we can look at, this is the type of person that attended in person, this is the type of person that attended virtually, and look at that level of detail. And then that will really help you form your content strategy for your website. Because maybe, for example, for our CVIT Connect events, we have 30% supplier and 70% buyer or event planners attending. So we know that that's the content ratio that we want to have on the site. We don't want 100% of the site to be supplier focused because that's not our main audience. But looking at that reg data, that can give us a breakdown of, okay, we need to include the suppliers there, but the majority of our audience is event planner. So we can have that audience be front and center on the homepage.
Yeah, that's so good. And I remember you said just a little while ago about your stakeholders. So within that research, you're finding out who are the people coming, you've got all these different stakeholders. How do you juggle? And I work here too, right? CVent has a ton of stakeholders and I'm one of them, you know, Felicia is all right. So how do you juggle all of those opinions that come in, Dara, when you're looking at these websites?
I think my comment about data kind of applies here too, is that that is your hard and fast source that you can use to justify your decisions. And especially when you're looking at things like the website, people can have a lot of opinions and think differently about how things look. So I think data is a really great one. I mean, even looking at things like, okay, maybe what pages were clicked on often last year, because sometimes people want to add new pages or add things to the navigation and you're like, I don't really know if we need that or if that's necessary. So sometimes looking at your page traffic, one thing that we look at closely is also like registration rate. We use our cvent.com site as well, where we look at things like, okay, what was the user's click journey through different steps of the path? So this data that you can get will really help you in your discussion with stakeholders, because you can't really argue with data. You can always come up with new ideas and ways to do things, and testing is always a good idea too. Like, okay, that's a great idea. Let's test it and see what happens. And I think that those are two really great ways to kind of respond back when we're having challenges.
Yeah, absolutely. Our CEO says this all the time, Reggie. He's like, the data will let anybody know what decision to make. So I think we've been a little bit indoctrinated, but it's absolutely right.
100%. Yeah.
And any marketer will tell you they're always looking at data. So yeah, definitely a good way to go. I'm going to move us on just a little tiny bit and talk about, still with stakeholders, I guess, Andreas, Darrett is your main stakeholder in this scenario, right? So do you have any moments where you're kind of like, this is not going to work? Like, or I'm being asked for, I just have to kind of push back against it. A few pain points there, maybe?
Darrett and I work very, very well together. If I had to choose one pain point, I think it would be how content is written and then how it gets delivered. So one of the things that is very common is that when content is getting drafted, whether it comes from Darrett and her stakeholders, is that most of the time it comes from, like, let's say, like a Word document or like a PDF file. And when you're drafting up that content, what can look like a very small amount of content on a document like that can look like a lot on the website. So there is a lot of stakeholder management that needs to be done from a content perspective, being like, wait, let's take a step back here. This is a lot of content. What is the most necessary? But something that I appreciate about working with Darrett, and like we created this relationship over the past 2 years now, is that we both understand what's in the realm of realism. So the more and more that you work together and more you kind of like start looking at the pain points and addressing them, the more and more efficient you get, right? So we're going on to like our third year doing 2025. I mean, at this point, the train is running smooth, right? And if there's something that, you know, I have concerns about and I take it there and I'm like, hey, this is really long. We might need to shorten this. This might not be so important. Like, she understands that part of it as well. And we really work very well together to come to some sort of compromise, I guess we'd say.
Yeah, and I think one really great thing that Andreas always does too is he will usually provide me like a visual example. So he will say, he won't just say, we can't do this. I'll be like, okay. but he will usually give me a really concrete example of why, and he'll show me, you know, here's what it looks like laid out on the page. And then once I see it laid out, I'm like, oh yeah, that does not look good. So we need to go back to the drawing board.
It's definitely one of those things, and this is like stakeholder management in general, right, is that what I like to do is that when I want to back up my reasoning for something, is I'll do it both ways. I'll do it the way that they intended for it to be seen, and then I'll do it what I think is the best way of doing it. And then I'll present both to them, and I'll be like, hey, this is what you originally came with. Here's how we can make it better. And that eases their mind a little bit to just be like, hey, we tried this way. It's not like you just completely disregarded like their wishes, right? So yeah, definitely, you know, kind of, They work hard too, right? Like they did their part. So you don't want to just like take it, toss it and throw it in the trash. You just want to like iterate upon it. And I mean, that's UX in general, right? Like iteration is so important. The first draft is never going to be the final draft. And as long as you keep working and you keep iterating, you'll get to that better product.
It sounds like I'm doing a counseling session, which I absolutely love. But I think what I got from that is like great open communication, trying things, working together. Visualization sounds really like it's a key thing, you know, so you can see it for yourself and not just saying like, no, you know. I think that's really great advice. And for those people that are working in that solo environment, I think they often have to be the everything and manage all the stakeholders coming to them saying, I need this on the website. I need this on the website. So maybe they can have what you've just articulated back to their stakeholders and make sure that they're able to visualize why these things will or maybe won't work for them. Sometimes it can be harder when you're working solo, right?
One of the other things that has helped me is kind of a mindset of, I'm stealing this from this organization called Girls on the Run, which I volunteered for all the time, but it's called Assume Positive Intent. And it just means that no matter who you're working with, just assume that they have a positive intention going in. So probably the person that wrote a paragraph and a half about what they want to put on the website, they probably did that with all the best of intentions of how that was going to look. And they thought this is going to be perfect. So when you go back to them, you just don't go in with the mindset of, oh, this person just doesn't get it and they want to make our website look bad. But come into it with they just might not have an understanding of what the user experience is like on the website. So sometimes it's just a little bit of a mindset shift there too.
I really like that a lot. I think one of the things that I keep repeating to myself when working with like any stakeholder is that, yeah, we are all on the same team and we are all working towards the same goal. And one person's way of doing it might not be like another person's way of doing it. But again, the end goal is still the same. So I really like that, having that positive intent there.
Awesome. Love it too. I think, again, sounds like counseling for my entire life, because I had that in marriage counseling, funnily enough, was assume positive intent from your partner. So I guess we could bring that into work as well and be like, hey, look, we're all just trying to do a job here, right?
And not just work, like take it everywhere else in life, like do everything with positive intent. Yeah, it doesn't have to be just your relationship, work, do it with anyone.
I love that so, so much. That's why our podcast is awesome. So I'm going to bring us on home with some top tips. I'll go one by one. If you could try and give us top tips for maybe two things. For when you first start thinking about the website, what are some top tips? And then when you're really trying to drive that reg, you're like, this is what the website is built for. You know, what are the top tips there? So Darrett, we'll start with you. First thoughts, and then how am I driving reg?
Yeah, I think first thoughts goes back to that persona conversation that we were saying. You have to start with who is my user base. Once you have that, then you can start building out the framework of, okay, what kind of content does that person need to see in order to register? And then once you have that framework, then you start adding on all of the UX and the design on top of that. So you know that you're going to want to have all that crucial information that I talked about before, the pricing, the convince my boss, the what is the event, those simple things. And the agenda, of course, is super important for that. The agenda at a glance, or agenda, whatever level that you have. Once you have those key components, then let's add the UX on top that's going to give them the ideal experience when they land on the website. And I think that starts with not just the content, but also looking at your brand. How does your brand apply to web? So that's a very important consideration that we take whenever we're starting a new website or starting a new registration site is, okay, how does our brand apply in this environment? And making sure that that's cohesive, because that's a huge part of it as well. For the reg portion of it, how to drive people towards reg, I have a few like little tricks up my sleeve for that. I think one is the urgency banner along the top. Whenever we have some kind of special discount or something going on, I always love to throw up a good urgency banner that's like, hey, we're having a discount for this week only, or sessions are filling up, make sure that you're registered now. That kind of urgency banner can help a lot. I think one thing we added to our website as well that I really like is the chatbot feature. So just people being able to talk to the chatbot and ask specific questions about accommodations, agenda, reg, whatever they need, making sure that the information is accessible in multiple ways. So maybe I can click through the pages, or I can chat with the bot, just making it as easy as possible for people to get to that final reg step.
Love it. Andreas, anything different or your own tips?
Of course. Yeah. I always look at last year's version and I look at what went well, what we want to keep, what we want to introduce, and maybe what didn't go so well, what we want to get rid of. Like I said earlier before, iteration is so, so, so important. And there is always a better way to do something and a way of topping yourself and creating something even better. So if I have one tip, it's just look at what's been done before. How do you make it better? And just keep improving upon it. And eventually you'll get there.
Love it. Any of those like candy drops, like an urgency banner that you're like, ah, oh, that catches people's eyes. Like any of those like last little tips you could give?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I mean, if we want to talk about like the biggest one, both of us, we've gotten so many questions about how we did like the video banner on the Connect website. And so like, I'll address it here a little bit, because it's one of those things where yes, it is done with custom code. But I'll preface it by saying that I'm not a developer, right? Like I focus a lot on creating the experience, and then most of the time that I send it off to a developer, but it was done by me and I don't know how to code. So if I could give motivation to any event planners out there, any hospitality professionals building up their websites, is don't be intimidated by it. You can learn HTML, CSS, and it is not a difficult thing. I think that as long as you have like passion for the project and vision for the project, then it can be done. And if you're working on time constraints, or maybe you really, really can't do it, then like we have CMS services as well that we offer to be able to create those experiences for you.
That is a super, super way to wrap up. I love that so much. And I am a product of what you just said. Like I remember when I was first in my marketing role, a little executive, just, you know, doing a little bit of content here and there. And I would always switch my view to see what the code looked like, just because I was intrigued. And then I'd start changing the text, as good marketers should. You know, when you can just change the text so it doesn't say me, it says my, and you're like, oh, I know what the side bits mean now. So
and you're already there, expert.
Perfect. So I think if I can do it, and trust me, I certainly am not a coder, I think anyone can get in there and have a play. So awesome. Thank you so, so much for joining me today. Are there any final things you want to say or any thoughts? Feel free to say no, but if you have a one thing that just popped in, anything, any lasting thoughts?
I think Andreas and I are always here to answer any questions. We would love to connect with you all and have discussions about this. We were on site at Connect and we just had so many great customer conversations and talking with prospects as well about how to make their websites better. We love talking about this stuff because we're huge just nerds about both the website and event marketing. So we're always here to have a little chat about this stuff if anyone ever has any questions.
Yeah, for sure. We're always here to talk. And, you know, if there's one thing that I can put out there is that everything you do, do it with love, care, and passion. I think Dara and I are two people that work well together because we both care about the event. We both care about what's being displayed and we both care about creating that experience. And you can take that and apply to anything. If you do it with care and you put love and passion into a project, people recognize that. They see it. And then in the end, it gives you the best product that you can have.
This episode has ended up being very motivational and sappy in the end. We thought we were talking about web design and we came out with motivational life advice.
I love it. That's how I love our episodes to be. So if you've loved it and you've enjoyed it, I would say go and follow Dara, follow Andreas and me, obviously, and tune back in for some more. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for hanging out with us on Great Events, a podcast by Cvent. If you've been enjoying our podcast, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.
And you can help fellow event professionals and marketers just like you discover great events by leaving us a rating on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
Stay connected with us on social media for behind the scenes content, updates, and some extra doses of inspiration.
Got a great story or an event to share? We want to hear from you. Find us on LinkedIn, send us a DM, or drop us a note at greatevents@cvent.com.
Big thanks to our amazing listeners, our guest speakers, and the incredible team behind the scenes. Remember, every great event begins with great people.
And that's a wrap. Keep creating, keep innovating, and keep joining us as we redefine how to make events great.